from DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
There is no other way to say it. Georgia is on a roll right now when it comes to recruiting. You had the three guys added on Sunday, and we've certainly done our part to talk about them and celebrate why that's such a big addition here for UGA. And it continues last night as Georgia adds Jermaine Johnson, the nation's number one junior college prospect for 2019, and a big-time pass rusher here who made this official on his Twitter feed, the way that's sort of become the rite of passage. In fact, if you're watching on video, I want to show this to you. Jermaine Johnson on Twitter saying 1,000% committed to Georgia, and he gives you a sort of a string of pictures there. You start to wonder if 1,000% committed is more than John Emery Jr.'s 110% committed. I think he had said that. Rian Trouble Davis said he was 104% committed. I guess now the ante's been raised here by Jermaine Johnson, who is a 1,000% committed, he says, to the University of Georgia. And I'm going to give credit to my buddy Jeff Sintel, who will be on with us here in a moment on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. Jeff did his part to foreshadow this a lot in recent conversations with us. I guess the one that stands out to me more so than anything else was on the night we did the video when Trayvon Walker, the five-star defensive tackle, when he committed to Georgia, Jeff said, all right, B.A., Trayvon's been your guy now for a while, the guy you want more than anybody else. Now Georgia's got him. Who do you want now? And I started going through my list of guys that I wanted, and Jeff said, let me add a name for you to be thinking about. At the time, Jeff said, start paying attention to Jermaine Johnson. That's a junior college name, a pass-rushing outside linebacker that you ought to know a lot about. And if he does choose Georgia, Jeff said, that's going to be one of those guys the Georgia fans are really happy to have in the fold here. And there's no doubt about that. Jermaine Johnson at Georgia, when Jeff's on the program, he'll explain why he's a good prospect for UGA. But I have to admit here, there is something I like about Jermaine Johnson beyond just the fact that he's a really good addition to the Georgia class and probably going to be a really good pass rusher for UGA. I also like the fact here that it puts Georgia back at number one again for the 2019 recruiting rankings. I just have a good time with that kind of stuff. Obviously, there's a line you can draw between on-field success and recruiting success, but there is something specifically here about number one that's really fun. It was fun to finish at 2018 at number one, knocking Alabama off of its typical perch to get there, and it's kind of fun to once again sort of push Alabama aside. Even if it's just for a moment here, it's kind of fun to sort of push Alabama to the side here and to see Georgia rise back up to a number one once again. I just sort of like this Georgia-Alabama battle that's brewing here on the recruiting trail. Now, we may see these two teams play in December on the field for real, but right now the recruiting battle between these two programs is pretty fun to watch. It wasn't necessarily waged over Jermaine Johnson, but the result of Georgia getting Johnson kind of does sort of bring the Crimson Tide Bulldogs battle back here to the forefront as Georgia's ranked number one in recruiting once again. Now, of course, Alabama and its fans, they have their spin on all of this. If you listen to an Alabama fan talk, he'll tell you that the reason why Georgia's gotten to number one last year, why it's having success this year, is all that so-called supposed negative recruiting that Kirby Smart and the Georgia coaches may be doing on the recruiting trail, saying bad things about the legendary Nick Saban, saying that Georgia is the place to be for reasons that Alabama can't compete with. And for what it's worth, Kirby Smart has totally denied this claim. He's totally denied this charge. He says when you got a program like Georgia, you don't have to negative recruit other programs because you can recruit all the good things you have going on. In fact, here's how Kirby Smart explained it earlier in the summer.
Negative recruiting, to me, never works on the kind of kids and the people you want in your program. Because if they're listening to that and they buy into that, they're probably a little gullible. Where I would much rather just be very honest and open, because you attract better quality people who respect the fact that you respect the other people in your league.
I mean, frankly, if you want me to be completely honest here, when you want to do that battle between Alabama and Georgia for number one in recruiting, there is an aspect of Alabama right now, in contrast to Georgia, I think, that just negative recruits itself. There is something about the energy that Kirby Smart brings to the forefront when he speaks, when he's on the sideline, the way that he approaches recruits, that is very hard for a Nick Saban, who's just been in Alabama for a long time. He's been coaching everywhere for a long time, if you get my drift here. It's sort of hard for him to imagine match that. And there's a contrast here that Georgia, I think, draws against Alabama without having to say anything whatsoever. And that's also fair to point out, whether it be Jermaine Johnson, who joined the fold last night, or the three guys who joined the field on Sunday, or the litany of recruits that made Georgia the number one class in the country for 2018. There is no doubt the real thing that sort of propels all of this, the real reason why we're talking about such rarefied air for UGA recruiting, actually sort of stems back to the success that Georgia enjoyed on the field for 2017. And once again, to Kirby Smart's credit, he has done nothing to deny this. He absolutely says the results on the field last year have made Georgia recruiting easier both in 2018 and now for 2019. In fact, here is how Kirby Smart recently explained that.
When we were 8-5, a lot of the signing class sat in my office and said, where's this program headed? And for us to have the timing of the momentum we had with the season we had combined with what we thought was a tremendous class, it was a perfect storm, because here you are winning at the end when all kids got to decide, which is early signing period. Boom, we do that. We go out and have one of the most visible games in all of college football this year in the Rose Bowl, and that's when a lot of kids they are very impacted by those games. They watch those games. To watch the national championship, there's so many kids that talked about how they viewed that game and saw that game, and they were pulling for the University of Georgia. They wanted us to be successful and win, and when you've got leaders in your class like a guy like Justin Fields, it helps tremendously.
So I think Kirby Smart saying there that there is a little bit of luck involved in this recruiting success. To have the good timing of a good season in 2017, it did make it easier to finish off the 2018 recruiting cycle, and obviously the momentum for that continues here into 2019 as well. But there is no denying this for the moment, that Georgia is getting the best of Alabama. Ranked higher for right now, finished ranked higher for the 2018 class, and for a lot of Georgia fans, this is sort of fun to watch. It's also sort of fun to listen to Nick Saban kind of squirm his way through some of this, try to make excuses for why it is that Alabama is not at the place currently, which most Crimson Tide fans view as a bit of a birthright for the program, to be number one in recruiting. To Saban's credit, he has been number one enough that it's obviously an important question to ask, but when you listen to him speak in the aftermath of the finish of the 2018 class, it almost sounds like a degree of excuse-making being made for why Alabama wasn't there. Let me give you an example of that. Saban, a couple of months ago, goes on the Mike Krzyzewski podcast. I didn't even know Coach K had one, but Saban was with the legendary Duke basketball coach, and the subject of recruiting came up, and Saban tried to explain away in part why Alabama wasn't number one for 2018, saying, you got to remember, we lost Brian Daboll, our offensive coordinator. We lost Jeremy Pruitt, our defensive coordinator, who started recruiting against us as the Tennessee head coach. Does those excuses work for Alabama? Well, Saban tried to raise them up the flagpole to see if anyone would salute them. In fact, here he is with Coach K trying to do just that.
We certainly had a lot of change this year, and I think it affected it some in recruiting, because now you recruit guys for so long, as you
know,
we start so much earlier. So when you lose the person that has a relationship with them a month before they're going to decide where they're going to go, it does have some impact.
Listen, here's what I'm going to tell you. Whether what Saban's saying right there is true or not, whether that's a reasonable explanation for why Alabama wasn't number one and why maybe Georgia maybe keeps Alabama at bay once again for 2019 or not, I think for a lot of Georgia fans, it's just really fun to hear Saban be in a position why he has to explain away losing recruits to a program like Georgia. It's not just Georgia, but when Georgia finishes number one, it's primarily Georgia. And after Jermaine Johnson joins the class, once again number one here again for 2019, you better believe that kind of stuff gets noticed in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, which is a kind of a nice thing for a Georgia fan to think about here at this moment. But with all of that said, you also have to sort of push pause in this conversation here for a moment as well, because as much as someone like me revels in Georgia's recruiting success at the expense of a program like Alabama, if Kirby Smart, the Georgia coach, were sitting here next to us right now, here's the one thing he'd remind us: that being number one in recruiting is really fun for fans, and obviously it's the fuel that propels success on the field, but let's not take our eye off the ball of what the true objective is. In fact, here is how he said that going back to the beginning of the calendar year.
Well, I think it's great. I think it's great for the fan base, but I'd trade that number one ranking for the last number one rank in the college football poll. So that's what's important, is what you do on the field, and that's what we'll be measured by as coaches, what we're able to do with this class, what they're able to do in development. That's the key ingredient, is what can you do with these guys nutritionally, strength and conditioning, academically, and even mentally. Mental conditioning is a big part for us. So I'm a lot more concerned with that than where, how many stars they got by their name.
Yeah, listen, bottom line here, that's well said there by Kirby Smart. Obviously, it's the on-field stuff that's more important when it's all said and done than the recruiting rankings. And with that in mind, the first coaches poll for the season came out yesterday, and Georgia currently ranked number 4. Here's what I think we all know, though. Georgia being ranked that high to start a season, the main reason why that's true is largely based on recruiting. The number 3 class from 2017 that are now sophomores going into the 2018 on-field season, and the incoming freshmen from the 2018 class, some of which will compete on the field here this season as well. That gives Georgia a chance to be number 4 and maybe even climb higher than that in the rankings by the time the season's done. And also for Georgia fans who look at the current status of the 2019 class, number 1 once again after Jermaine Johnson commits to the G last night, I think it also gives a lot of UGA fans a lot of confidence to think that the next few years of preseason and then postseason rankings will also fare pretty favorably for UGA in those instances as well. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Hello to you. Thank you so much for being with us, no matter how you get to us today. Live on video every morning at 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook page, Dog Nation YouTube page, or the Dog Nation Twitter feed. We just appreciate you checking us out on the Dog Nation video channels, on the radio at noon, with our friends in the Classic City on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We love being on the radio there each and every day, and for those of you who listen there in Athens, we appreciate you checking that out. A lot going on here in Clark County over the next few days, and we're really excited about all of that. Also in podcast form, we sort of think of this as the on-demand way to listen to our audio version of our program. And if you're on the Apple Podcasts, we've got you taken care of there. If you've got the iPhone, or if you're on an Android phone, Android device, the Google Podcast Player seems to work for you pretty well there. SoundCloud, the world-famous, DogNation.com. We're just really glad you've checked out Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza here today. And speaking of Marco's Pizza, when you're thinking about the weekend, think about kicking off the weekend right with a great deal in primo style, as they like to say. You can get 2 medium, 2 topping pizzas for just $6.99 each. It's every store, every day, the Italian way. Go to Marco's.com to find the Marco's nearest you and find out how you can take advantage of that great offer here this weekend. And boy, you better believe that my family, we're probably thinking about doing the same thing. It is Jeff Sintel in just a moment here. We'll talk to him about Jermaine Johnson. And I am also, as you might imagine, going to get a lot into with Jeff the great profile that he had this week, some exclusive quotes from 5-star wide receiver and UGA commit Jaden Hazelwood. Really good stuff from Jeff on that. We'll talk a lot about that here coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, speaking of wide receivers, now y'all know I'm not the world's biggest NFL fan. I'm not living and dying, certainly with every NFL preseason game. But someone in our comment section on Video Live yesterday did remind us that Javon Wims was making his NFL debut last night for the Bears in the Hall of Fame game against the Baltimore Ravens. And, whoa, what a night for Javon Wims. If you're watching on video, I want to show you a tweet from Pro Football Focus that kind of gives you some of the statistical, breakdown of how well Javon Wims did. But if you're listening to us, you're going to love this. It's Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels, the NBC broadcasters. Now, listen, we don't have the kind of ability to play a bunch of NFL highlights here, but I do want to let you hear Michaels and Collinsworth bragging on Wims after he makes a big catch last night. If you're a UGA fan, you'll love this. Take a listen to the NBC broadcast praising Javon Wims.
Brings back the pass, throws, and reaching up for it is Wims to make the catch at the 8-yard line. Good play by the rookie out of Georgia who was picked in the 7th round.
And this is exactly the kind of play he makes, Al. He is not a speedster, but he has the ability to go up and win these jump balls. He did it consistently in college, and they're giving him those opportunities. And, well, you make one play in the NFL, and all of a sudden you start thinking you can do it again.
I mean, how big time does that sound? Recognizable voices, Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, talking about Javon Wims, maybe a steal of the draft as a 7th-round pick for the Bears. If you're a UGA fan, boy, you really like that. And if you're Kirby Smart and his video and social media staff, I imagine you're already kind of trying to put that all together to find out how you can publicize that for more wide receivers. Really good stuff there from NBC last night. And congrats to Javon Wims on making a really sterling preseason debut with the Bears last evening. All right, before we roll on here, let me get you up to date on everything everything happening around Dog Nation. It is busy right now. We do this every Friday. It's our Kroger click list checklist, and whether it's today, Saturday, or throughout the next few days, a lot going on here. Let me show you our Kroger click list checklist, and as I do, of course, we love the Kroger click list around here. Here's a few things to think about today. Now, this is closed to the public, but you do have the introductory press conference for the 2018 season from Kirby Smart and some Georgia players there in Athens, so a lot of news potentially coming out of that. We've also got the Own the East video series that's beginning today, courtesy of our friends at Georgia's Own Credit Union. That starts today at DogNation.com. You're going to want to check that out as we preview the 2018 season in style. Tomorrow, this is a fan event. Starts at 3:30, the open practice. Also a chance for some pictures and autographs on the field after the game. I understand you can also get a picture taken with Uga, although there's a little bit of a process involved with that, so some kind of fun stuff on that. We had Matt Stinchcomb on the program yesterday. They've got their Dog for Kids night tomorrow night at the College Football Hall of Fame starting at 7 p.m. to benefit the Georgia Transplant Foundation and Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Now, tickets are limited here for this. You need to go to gatransplant.org to find out how you can get more of those and be a part of that. We've got Before the Hedges, our recruiting show, returning this upcoming Wednesday and then every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time right here on the Dog Nation video channels. And, by the way, make sure you mark down Thursday, August 23rd on your calendar for our Dog Nation season kickoff taking place at the brand new Kroger in Cumming. I'm really excited about that beautiful Kroger marketplace there and really looking forward to that. A lot going on right now as a part of our Dog Nation Kroger click list checklist, which we do every single Friday. And speaking of Kroger, you know, my son just went back to school here this week. A lot of you doing the same thing. Well, think about those great deals at Kroger for back to school, including 10 for $10 on back to school favorites at your local Atlanta Kroger right now, from pens and pencils to your favorite snacks. All there for you at your local Kroger. All right, great to have you with us. Hope you enjoy Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
All right, Jeff Sintel, it has been busy on your beat as of late. Georgia adds another commit last night to its class of 2019. I guess that's 4 in 1 week here, which is quite a haul here. First of all, let me say good morning. Thanks for being with us. How you doing today?
Hey, Brandon, man, I'm great. And before we jump in the boat and start paddling, I wanted to say a special shout out, special gesture of thanks to the Forsyth County Bulldog Club. They had some schlep of a reporter by yesterday, second year in a row. They even asked me back to talk about Georgia football and talk about Georgia recruiting. And let me say, Brandon, there are some very committed Georgia Bulldog fans up there in Forsyth County. I would dare even say that they would take the title belt from you.
Wow.
In terms of Bulldog fandom. I mean, there's one lady, I just tweeted about it a while back. She's made 441 consecutive Georgia games.
My goodness.
Her family has 8 degrees from the University of Georgia, and they've already, eternal optimists here, they've already got the reservations for all the potential 2019 playoff sites.
Including Santa Clara for the national championship game, too, I'm guessing then, right?
Yep, you have to, man.
No doubt about that. Well, that's kind of fun to think about. As I was just saying, as part of our Kroger click list checklist a moment ago, you know, we're going to actually be back in Cumming again there in Forsyth County on August 23rd for our Dog Nation season kickoff. So some of those rabid UGA fans there up 400 and Cumming in Forsyth County, Jeff, it's going to be a lot of fun to hang out with them coming up on August 23rd here.
Yeah, Kroger, you know, it's one of those great Krogers. The newest location to have everything from adult beverage stations to apparel. I mean, those things are loaded down. You could probably even get your grill that you will cook your Kroger steaks on at one of those fine Kroger locations.
I think you're absolutely right about that. All right, well, speaking of adding a lot of nice things, Georgia's been doing that here as late as well. We talked before you joined us about what I like about Jermaine Johnson, the guy that you did a good job foreshadowing for us on some of our recent conversations here. Kind of go deeper on Johnson as a player, if you don't mind. Tell us what UGA's getting here.
Wow. Well, I would say this, man. They're getting a guy that they call him the Wolfpack, and this guy's about 6'6", 250 pounds or so. Everybody knows that by now he's the nation's number one junior college prospect, but he chose Georgia in what had kind of been coming down the tracks for a while. The best things I can say about him are it is not ludicrous at all, my friend, to sit there and think that this guy could be a one-and-done player. He's that talented. Maybe just one season in the SEC. Good point to know just how athletic he is. You can watch his film. One of the most impressive defenders on that Independence Community College team last year. He was a guy that when he tests and he works out, he runs with the defensive backs and the skill guys. And his first 10 yards are as fast as any of those skill guys. Just a tremendously quick size athlete, lots of length is just what Georgia wants. And there's going to be a unique factoid here to go forward. If he basically realizes his potential as a Georgia Bulldog, Brandon, he might be right up there with the one legendary Larry Munson as great Bulldogs hailing from the state of Minnesota.
Great point.
The fact's out there right now that he stands to be the first Georgia Bulldog, especially a scholarship player, in the history of the program from that great state of Minnesota, the land of a thousand lakes. That one surprised me. You would think Georgia had checked off all the states in the union by now.
If I could, though, I think you just shortchanged Minnesota by about 9,000 lakes. I think it's actually technically the land of 10,000 lakes.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't give them enough stars in the lake rating, man. I mean, that is land of 10,000 lakes and a 6'6", 245-pound dominant potential SEC edge defender for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And one of the things I said before you joined us, and I don't mind telling you, Jeff, that I do love all this, you know, chatter about the number one class. As a fan, I love seeing Georgia knock off Alabama from that perch for the official end of cycle rankings for the 2018 class. I love the fact that Georgia's back there again after adding Jermaine Johnson right now. That's all just really fun for me. I think most fans would kind of feel the same way. And with that in mind, you know, as far as objective analysis goes, do you think, given the, I guess, what we think of as maybe a smaller class for Georgia in 2019, a bigger class for Alabama in terms of the number of prospects it can sign, is number one realistic for Georgia here this upcoming this upcoming recruiting cycle?
Well, I think it's realistic. I mean, I don't know. I think one or two is probably where the Bulldogs wind up. And I mean, maybe the most objective thing I can say here is that over the last 24 months, the Bulldogs are recruiting as well as any program in the country. That's even including Alabama. And you look at it the way I look at college football, all those great number one recruiting classes for Alabama, they still seem pretty sporty. They had seven of those in a row. But the reality is only the last three or four will materialize on the field, especially in 2018 and 2019. And while Alabama still has some advantages, I think the receiver position might be the biggest one. I do think that the Bulldogs are rapidly catching up with all things in terms of that Georgia-Alabama race. And I mean, Brandon, to me, it just seems fitting. The two teams played for the national championship. Georgia broke Alabama's string of number one classes. They're very likely to meet again in the SEC championship game. And then they're also going to go mano a mano, kind of like those Florida Gators in their massacre midnight weight room. They're going to go mano a mano for the nation's number one recruiting class in 2019 as well.
By the way, would you like a fun fact here? Robert Doan, who's watching us live right now on our Facebook video feed, says that it's a fact that Minnesota's got 11,842 lakes. So, Jeff, you learned something today.
I mean, Brandon, I think we're the only program in the country that has already mentioned the Florida Gators Midnight Massacre wrestling program, the land of 11,000-plus lakes, and also the fact that Jermaine Johnson is the nation's number one junior college prospect. Now, if you want variety, we might be we might be your favorite buffet,
your
favorite Golden Corral program of variety here on Dog Nation Daily.
That's exactly right. What we lack in quality, we make up for in quantity, I guess. All right, let me get serious here, though, and talk about something that I thought was really important this week, a great, I mean great, in-depth profile that you have written of five-star wide receiver Jaden Hazelwood, who was good enough to spend a lot of time with you. And Jeff, all I can do is share my thoughts on what I read, and I obviously want your thoughts as the writer of the piece and a guy that knows Hazelwood better than I do. Nothing that I read from Hazelwood in your piece at Dog Nation did anything to change my mind. In fact, it probably only cemented my opinion even more. that Hazelwood's all dog here, that this is a guy that's going through his process, and his process may not be what every Georgia fan wishes it was, but ultimately I still feel that it is a process that ends with him ultimately inking with Georgia, I'm assuming in December of 2018 here. I just feel even more confidently about that after reading your piece at Dog Nation. As the person who wrote it, how does that land with you?
Well, I think Georgia fans should feel confident about Jaden, and I don't really think that channel had changed a whole lot. I mean, he's going to take his visits, and that's going to spark up headlines and maybe some crystal ball kind of reflections or waves in everyone's crystal ball. That's kind of what the industry does. But to me, I think maybe the big takeaways from those conversations I had with Jaden, they're purely simple. Nothing has changed. He's going to take his visits. Does like to see Georgia, does want to see Georgia throw the ball a little bit more. But to me, maybe some of the most telling aspects that I learned from our conversation, especially on the record, was when he basically said the only way Georgia falls here is if Georgia messes up. They make a mistake in his recruiting by not being totally honest with him. Maybe they don't run the ball, maybe they don't throw the ball as well as he was thinking, he was hoping to see. And then maybe another school also has to push forward and surge forward and do something more and open his eyes even wider than they are now. I think his comments about Miami were interesting. He didn't feel a vibe with Jaren Williams. He did like things of the Miami program they were selling him, that pro-style offense that launched A.J. Green into the NFL, led by Coach Mark Richt. But then he also, you know, very openly said he's a little concerned about Miami's structure in terms of everything. If you've ever been around South Florida, it's about 45 minutes away from it everywhere else. With the Hurricanes, they struggle with fan attendance and student attendance because their stadium is 45 minutes away. It is not even their stadium. And he really brought up the point. I made sure to quote him on it, that if Miami has a big win in that stadium, and it's a jubilant mood, nobody really wants to spend 45 minutes in a bus going back to campus to look at there. So, I mean, he said Florida State might also get an official. Auburn might get an official. Georgia will definitely get an official. And Brandon, on that kind of that back end of that piece, I put a little, I guess, a post-story myth on everyone's pillow for finishing that off, and as a thanks for reading all that copy about what's going on with Jaden Hazelwood right now. And I thought it was very interesting how he kind of looked at his role as Nolan as the public hammer, in the face guy for all the Georgia commits. And then, maybe a good cop, bad cop, or heavy Georgia, light Georgia in terms of the recruiting pitches there from the five stars, how Jaden will kind of come in on the back end and just make sure that, everything is legit and on the level when he knows a player. And he calls it messing with us. He wants to make sure that they were messing with us. Jaden Hazelwood, tremendous, tremendous player. I wanted to make sure people knew the scope of that. He is the highest rated receiver since 2012 with a couple of guys like Doriel Green Beckham and Stephon Diggs. And he would be, once this pattern continues and he signs with Georgia in December, he would be the highest rated receiver Georgia has signed since A.J. Green in 2008.
So a couple thoughts there on Hazelwood. I think it's just a great piece, and I did love the part about he and Nolan Smith together, because they are, you know, very interesting in their own right, and as Hazelwood himself explained, they kind of go about their business on the recruiting trail in slightly different ways here. But, you know, I guess if I'm going to think about something in terms of, hey, this is a slight thing to be concerned about when it comes to Hazelwood, you know, he does mention James Coley by name in terms of, you know, guys he has a relationship with. He mentions the fact that Coley could have gone to Texas A&M last year and chose to stay at UGA. But as you know, Jeff, holding on to James Coley long term is going to be a very hard thing for Georgia to do. I believe that Coley's a rising star in the recruiting and then in the coaching ranks. Maybe that's even true as quickly as this upcoming offseason. So that's obviously a reason for concern. But I did think it was interesting that Hazelwood's already sort of expressed in the piece with you a cozy relationship with Cortez Hankton, the Georgia wide receivers coach, who's only been on the job now for a few months. It sounds like he and Hankton have already kind of found a nice bond here.
Yeah, what he's made sure to tell me is that he hears from Hankton every day. He's in contact with all those Georgia coaches, and the thing there is Georgia's still recruiting Jaden Hazelwood like he is a got-to-get guy, an uncommitted recruit, or number one on the board. And that's something that a smart program should do. No pun intended there. That's something a smart program should do when you're talking about the nation's number three overall prospect. And, you know, Brendan, another thing about that story that struck me, and that's why I elevated it so high in my copy, maybe ahead of all the juicy recruiting gospel or whatever, is that to me, I thought it was fascinating how even a guy like Jaden Hazelwood gets these Control-V recruiting messages from recruiters. He gets paragraphs that are sent to him. They are largely ignored. It's the same stuff over and over, and he is seeking genuine conversations. One thing that's interesting in my reporting now, Brandon, that I don't think a lot of our viewers and readers really get the sense of, is FaceTime now, Brandon, is a huge mechanism in college recruiting.
Uh-huh.
It's easier. It becomes very important where the coach opens up a window of his time to talk to a recruit. You can read facial expressions. You can look at guys in the eye. And it becomes something a lot more personal, a lot more intimate. And a lot of recruits I talk to do prefer the FaceTime messages, especially with a lot of the recruiters that are heavily invested in their futures or who seem like they're heavily invested in their futures as well. And they learn a lot from that, which is a lot better than a phone call, which is a lot better than DMs and text messages shared back and forth. Pretty funny how recruiting is going right now in terms of FaceTime and how that's simply the new way a lot of this stuff is getting done now.
Well, it's amazing to me that something like, you know, recruiting, which is obviously receiving endless coverage, is still so poorly understood by some people sometimes. And, Jeff, what you're describing right there is the perfect example of this. FaceTime being a way that a real relationship unfolds, because there are, you know, back and forth two-way conversation, and facial expressions are a part of that, as opposed to the sort of cut-and-paste stuff that Hazelwood complained about in the piece with you. Ultimately, recruiting, Jeff, and I know you know this, it's a relationship business, and the gimmicks, whether it be social media stuff, the cool edits, the hype that programs sort of put out about themselves, ultimately that does not get signatures on dotted lines as much as just being able to establish a genuine relationship does. That's the stuff that really works, and Jaden Hazelwood apparently may be the top example of that.
It's just funny, Brandon. That struck that hit home with me when basically, I mean, Brandon, this is not the number 15 receiver from Topeka, Kansas, who's a low four-star. This is a once every 8 years at least type player, almost once a decade type player at the receiver position. He works as hard as anybody. He camps and he exposes himself on the evaluation circuit as much as anyone. I mean, this guy goes through the opening when his ribs are busted up and he can barely go, but he's still at 80-85%, and he's making the first teams and the all-camp teams and everything else. It just boggles my mind how someone could be a recruiter in this day and age and going after, let's just face it, a tremendous blue chip player in Jaden Hazelwood, and does not sit down there and think, you know what, I'm going to do something that sets my recruiting apart from everyone else that's trying to reach out to this kid.
All right, let's do a couple things here before we let you go. Let me start with a piece you had with John Emery Jr., the five-star running back that committed to Georgia on Sunday. You had a great follow-up on that decision and kind of how it was that Emery ends up choosing UGA here. The story behind all of this, as we said on Tuesday when you joined us, this is one of the great recruiting successes that I can remember from Georgia, even with all the great success they've enjoyed the last couple of cycles. Getting a big-time running back out of Louisiana is an amazing pull here, but as you explained, and Emery did his part to explain as well, when you look at the success that Georgia's had with running backs, maybe it actually isn't all that hard to believe, right?
Yeah, Brandon, I think that's right. I think if there's one position in the University of Georgia, there really shouldn't be any sort of kicking of the tires or wondering about how in the world Georgia is pulling another running back. Well, I mean, Georgia's always gotten the running backs. There's no difference there. It's just that maybe now the running backs come even easier because they know that the workload will be shared and guys will still become a top 35 pick in the NFL like Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. But also now they see, I mean, man, maybe I don't do a good enough job of reporting this, but like, one of the things that immediately strikes offensive players now when they visit Georgia, when they're around the weight room, they watch them work out, and especially when they can catch them on the field during the spring and now, they're just floored is the word, Brandon. They're just floored by looking at the size of Georgia's offensive linemen. And then they start, you know, basically salivating like they're at a Marlowe's Tavern or they're about to devour a Marco's Pizza, because they're going to get to play behind those guys, and those guys are going to be opening up green grass for them. And, you know, Brandon, that's a good talking point there for John Emery Jr. I want to ask you this following question, and everybody that's on this feed, feel free to chime in, because I want to know how you feel. Everybody knows Georgia recruiting because they tune into this stuff a lot. I dare say that pulling John Emery out of Louisiana in the way that the Bulldogs did, especially when they already have the depth of what they signed last year with the number one back and the number three back, I think this is probably one of the most impressive recruiting pulls for the Georgia program so far under Kirby Smart. And there's only a few other contemporary signings that Georgia has landed with this program that I would even dare compare to.
Well, you know, yeah, I think you're right about that. And the word that comes to mind, although I'm probably using the word incorrectly, it's probably a bigger word than I should be doing, is audacious, right? It's sort of an audacious move to even make your pitch to Emery. You know, it takes a certain level of self-confidence to say, we've got Zamir White, we've got James Cook, but we really need you too. You know, there are a lot of coaching staffs and programs that wouldn't even have the guts to really make a full court press on a guy like that, who had stated that depth charts were important to him, who obviously is, you know, paying close attention to a lot of this kind of stuff, going to get a lot of pressure to stay sort of west of the Mississippi here. That's a pretty audacious move to even get involved there.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you say that word audacious, and it makes me kind of go back to my North Georgia roots a little bit, and I think about my mamaw and her using the word gall a lot. I mean, the gall of Georgia to go into Louisiana, the Pelican State, the Boot State, and to pull another running back with, I mean, Brandon, the numbers on the five-star running backs are stacking up. I mean, when we would use the term star-studded to describe Georgia's backfield, that's gonna hit on a lot of literal meanings and a lot of literal devices. I mean, five-star, James Cook was a five-star, DeAndre Swift was a five-star, Zamir White was a five-star, John Emery Jr. is a five-star. I mean, that's just in the last three recruiting cycles, Georgia has pulled in four five-star running backs, and they're going to pair them with all these five-star offensive linemen that's going to pave the way for them. I mean, Brandon, everybody, the only comparison is all those backs that Alabama had at one time when it seemed like they were getting the Alvin Kamaras of the world, and then they kept adding more and more and more with Derrick Henry and guys that would have to sit for a couple of years at Alabama. That's really the only thing that you can compare it to in terms of, I mean, just what they're doing, the audacity and the gall to bring in all this talent. And Georgia, again, it's going to sound like the same played line in a bad pop song, but Georgia and Alabama continue to do the same thing, similar things on the recruiting trail now.
So what do you think about this, when this collection of running backs, the stars they are in, the constellation, is that a good nickname for this collection of backs here, or is that a terrible idea?
Maybe the Milky Way or something like that. Some other – we need to get some astronomers on there or something like that, or Georgia coaching staff likes to call them the show dogs, like this is Westminster, and
okay,
that's the Kennel Club,
yeah,
and the best in show, And then I think the other thing that they use for the running back position, kind of like their League of Shadows, is like their end zone stalkers, which kind of brings to mind the great Dan McGill and his term Herschel Walker, the goal line stalker. That's just Georgia, man. The big difference now is another tired line. Georgia's running back talent might be as good or better than it has ever been, but the other factor here is the offensive line will be so much better than any great Georgia running back of the last 10, 15, 20 years has ever had the privilege to follow behind.
It's a lot to think about, Jeff, and it's a lot of fun to have the conversation. All right, last thing for you. I know I've kept you long here. And, you know, listen, I know the situation at Ohio State is very serious. Obviously, whatever, you know, Urban Meyer may or may not have known about is potentially pointing back to something heinous that may have happened between a man and his wife, which is just an ugly scenario to think about. But obviously here on this show, our topic is about football, so I can't help but think about the football side of this, and I can't help but think about, you know, guys that we've seen sort of slip through Georgia's grasp here as of late end up at Ohio State. Probably the primary name that comes to mind here is Harry Miller, who the center from Buford, Georgia, that's a guy that you've written glowingly about at Dog Nation before. I love Miller's story, the mission work that he's done. I think it's in Nicaragua. You'll correct me if I'm wrong on that. He just seems like a team captain's team captain, and he had good reasons to choose Ohio State when he committed to the Buckeyes recently. But with what's happening there in Columbus, or what potentially could be happening, does that get Georgia back involved with a Miller or a Legend Cavazos for the 2020 class, or the young man, the offensive line we talked about the other day from Michigan, who's making a decision potential between Ohio State and Georgia for the 2020 class here? I mean, you know, what does the Ohio State thing potentially mean for Georgia?
Well, I think we have an unfinished narrative right now. I think the next, let me count them up. I think the next 3 or 4 days, Brandon, will be very telling in this news cycle here about Mitre's future. What does Ohio State do right now? They've got Ryan Day now as their interim head coach, who seems a very safe fit, at least short term considering. But the thing here, you know, Harry Miller's a guy that's already been flushed through the news about potential there. It was an immediate kind of knee-jerk target. I'll just kind of stick to my reporting here on Harry. While I think Harry is a guy that makes scholars think they need to work harder, he's a guy that makes 4- and 5-star football players think that they need to work harder at what they do, and this is the same individual. I do remember other schools prioritizing Harry a little bit more than Georgia did. Stanford is one that readily comes to mind, that if I had to give a school that would most immediately benefit from the situation now at Ohio State, I would probably point my finger towards Stanford as maybe a more logical step. If Urban Meyer fallout, it becomes a major point where recruits do have to reevaluate how they look at the Buckeyes. And I mean, I think the fair statement to think there is, of course, Ohio State, should they find themselves in the business of going after a new head coach, there's not a lot of Urban Meyers walking around, but I do think that Ohio State would be able to command a top-flight head coach going forward, not just on an interim basis and everything else like that. That program is not going anywhere. They've recruited so well. Might just be a different man at the top, aside from Urban Meyer. But with a lot of these guys, you know, Georgia is a national player on the recruiting field now, and if someone, you know, Georgia's in the same races for a lot of guys, a lot of elite guys, especially now in the Midwest, the way Georgia is opening up pockets of talent, like even the land of 11,000 lakes in Minnesota now in Big Ten country. I do think that eventually, should the storyline become bad news for Ohio State fans and that proud fan base, that I think Georgia is one of the programs that could ultimately down the line benefit, especially in the 2020 class, where it seemed like Ohio State was assembling a 2020 class that was going to be Georgia-like, dare I say it, with what they were doing in 2020. So that's something to monitor going forward as well.
Jeff, it's really fascinating stuff. We appreciate your coverage of all of this as part of your Centel Intel every day at DogNation.com. We love to read it. The Jaden Hazelwood interview, among everything else, something that every UGA fan ought to check out. So, Jeff, I'll invite people to take a look at that, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon right here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza.
Hey, Brandon, take it easy, man. Have a great weekend.
You too, Jeff. Thanks.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, I mean, what I love about the Jeff Centel stuff at DogNation.com is it is very deep on the subject that's most timely. And I think that Jaden Hazelwood, on the heels of not being in Athens for the big reveal on Saturday, was pretty big news in the recruiting circles. Being at Miami instead, some of the chatter that had come out of Auburn, including Owen Popoe saying that he thought that Auburn was going to flip Jaden Hazelwood. That's a moment when you need to hear from Hazelwood. You got to have the relationship with Jaden to sort of, you know, get him to speak on subjects like that. And you go to the Centel Intel for absolutely free at adognation.com. And it doesn't get any better than that. Top flight recruiting coverage there. I'm really proud to be on the same team with Jeff when it comes to stuff like that. All right, let's shift gears here and do our SEC through. I mentioned a few moments ago that Georgia does come in at number 4 in the inaugural coaches poll released yesterday. A few other SEC teams also on this list as well. Let me show you some of those. Alabama does come in at number 1 here. You can take a look at this graphic on your screen with Alabama at number 1. Georgia does come in at number four here. You've got Auburn at number 10, Mississippi State number 18, and how about LSU kind of sliding in there at number 24? So, listen, you can't dispute Alabama being number one right now, the reigning champion. I don't have a real problem with Auburn at number 10, although wait till you hear something on this in just a moment, really funny. And then you get Mississippi State and LSU after that. I told you before, and I've actually been saying this now for a couple of weeks, the one opinion that I expressed earlier in the offseason that I have now started to second guess a bit is some of my criticism of LSU. The closer we get to the start of the season, the more I start to wonder, is maybe LSU a little bit better than I thought they were going to be? Ranked in the preseason top 25, when you look at Dave Aranda's defense, which for the most part will be as advertised, Braden Fajoco, the transfer defensive lineman, pretty good secondary, including the Stanford transfer, Terrence Alexander mixing into that, Devin White, who may be the best inside linebacker in the SEC this year. That's a legitimate, typical LSU defense. Offense is obviously a question mark, but let's say that Joe Burrow, the transfer is good, then all of a sudden the offense is scoring enough points to be dangerous. Going to Baton Rouge in October starts to feel like a very tough game for Georgia. It's a game that Georgia's still likely favored in, but a much tougher game to realize on the road than a lot of other road trips would be around the SEC. But here's the real point that I wanted to make about the coaches poll release yesterday. The story for me is not who's in it, and I just gave you the ones that are. The story for me is who's not in it. Leading the way for others receiving votes was South Carolina. So South Carolina not getting the nod here as a preseason top 25 team. And listen, ultimately, preseason polls don't matter. It's the postseason poll that matters more than anything else. But to the extent that this is a real thing, I got to tell you, I think if I'm a South Carolina fan today, I'm feeling robbed by not being in the preseason top 25. Now, I don't have the actual numbers in front of me here, but even if you look at the others receiving votes, Gamecocks only got a small handful of votes more than Florida did. If you put Florida and South Carolina side by side on paper, there is very little I like more about Florida than I like about South Carolina. Maybe you say, you know, a better secondary for the Gators. They got a pretty good one. You know, maybe C.C. Jefferson, that defensive line, gives you a little bit of a nod over what South Carolina's going to do. But overall, there are other aspects of the South Carolina story that are, I think, that are just demonstrably better than what Florida brings to the table here. I'm not telling they should be ranked in the top 10, but ranked in the top 25 somewhere. When you look at some of the other Hammond Eggers that got put in that poll, yeah, I think that the Gamecocks have a bit of a case to be made here. Kind of a weird situation that South Carolina overlooked there. Now, speaking of the teams that did get ranked, I thought that this was kind of funny and pretty interesting. A lot of chatter in the immediate aftermath of the poll coming out about who was overranked, who's overrated, and the SEC draws the ire there in a couple of instances. USA Today, which is, the outfit that actually publishes the coaches poll, they had their own piece of looking at who was overrated and underrated, and two of their overrated teams were SEC teams. Mississippi State overrated at, 18, and then LSU overrated at 24. I don't have a strong gripe with either one of those cases. I've said before that I think that the people showing a lot of love to Mississippi State this offseason are doing so at the expense of forgetting that, listen, there is a pretty spotty track record for first-year coaches in the SEC. Kirby Smart looks like, you know, as good as anybody in the sport right now going into 2018, but his first season of 2016 was just 8-5 with a better roster, I think, than what Mississippi State has. I think that's a point to think about here and a point to deal with here for the Bulldogs. They are dealing with a first-year coach, so USA Today saying they are overrated, I don't necessarily have a huge problem with that. But what's most interesting of all is this, and for those of you that dislike Auburn, you're going to love this. So Auburn was the subject of ire of some ESPN writers. They did one of their writer roundtables on you know, where people were ranked in the coaches poll, and the topic came up. And I wish I could just show you all of this. It was hilarious. But the topic came up of which team ranked in the top 10 is most likely to finish the season unranked. Now, obviously, this is only an answer to a question that was asked. This is not like information that was volunteered. But what's interesting here is it's like five different ESPN writers weighing in on this roundtable topic. All five of them listed Auburn, or however many was that were asked this question. Everybody said Auburn. Auburn swept the answer here in terms of top 10 teams most likely to be unranked. Now, listen, I'm probably higher on Auburn than some of the other people are, I guess. I think they're better than that. But kind of funny in terms of suspicion and doubt based on the EKG machine of results for Auburn in recent years. Maybe that factors into that. I thought that Georgia fans might get a bit of a kick out of that. All right, let me do a couple other quick stories here as our SEC through runs just a little bit long. But this is important stuff. First of all, on Florida, they do get some good news, and they made this official on Twitter here, but a couple transfer wide receivers. Let me show you the official tweet here from Florida coming out on this about Van Jefferson, the former Ole Miss Rebel, and Trevin Grimes, the former Ohio State Buckeye. Florida letting you know on Twitter that both Grimes and Jefferson have been ruled eligible to play in 2018 there. So Florida obviously feeling good about that. I think that Jefferson's a bigger addition than Grimes probably is. I think Van Jefferson's likely to be a big part of the Florida offense here this season. It's not really a surprise that either of those two guys, I guess, are ruled eligible, although Dan Mullen did have something to say about this. He had an official quote on this as well. Let me show you the quote here from Dan Mullen, who did weigh on this subject, saying that he's excited for Trevin and Van. We appreciate the NCAA's understanding in both situations. Thankful to the UAA's administration and compliance staff for their role in helping guide Trevin, Van, their families and coaching staffs through this. That's Dan Mullen on that. And, of course, when you think about, you know, Trevin Grimes here and Dan Mullen, what he says about Van Jefferson as well, you wonder, does that have any impact on ultimately what's going to be said about Demetrius Robertson here? Obviously, Georgia fans paying close attention to that. And then one more final story to get to here, Ed, and this is something I'm just saying, just put a pin in this. Pay close attention. Watch this for the future here. Juwan Jennings is back, and he's going to be playing and practicing again for the Tennessee Vols. This is the receiver that Georgia fans obviously have bad memories of. He caught the Hail Mary pass when the Vols beat Georgia in Athens in 2016, but he was dismissed from the Tennessee team last year, left, coming back here now for Jeremy Pruitt. And during the offseason, when Tennessee athletic director Philip Fulmer was asked about Jennings a couple times, it almost seemed like Fulmer was suggesting that maybe bringing him back was not the greatest idea. I'm paraphrasing the quote here from Fulmer, but at one point in time he even said that based on Jennings' track record, if he were to get a second chance, odds are he might not, you know, make good on that based on what we know about him in the past. It was a weird statement from Fulmer at the time, especially given the fact that it seems like Jeremy Pruitt obviously wants Juwan Jennings a part of this team. Otherwise, he would not be a part of the team unless Jeremy Pruitt vouching for him. This is one of those moments when I think that you got to be very careful if you're Tennessee. Big personality, the athletic director with Philip Fulmer, a guy that doesn't mind speaking to reporters. Jeremy Pruitt, who's got his own share of issues, as it has been well documented. You know, issues like this where it almost seems like publicly these two guys have taken different stances. I think that's something to watch out for in the future here. We'll see how that plays out with both Juwan Jennings and other subjects. It will make that a very long SEC through. But this time of year, stuff like that does get a little longer, given the fact that we are getting close to the start of the 2018 season, and we're very excited about that. And with that in mind, today is actually going to be our last day of doing a Dog Day Q&A. Now, listen, we're going to still take comments live on video every single day. That doesn't change. And we're going to take comments on Twitter for those of you who weigh in there on social media at Dog Nation Daily. But starting next week, we're going to have a lot of stuff we got to cover with the beginning of practice here today and then the open practice on Saturday. We're going to have a lot to cover here. So the Dog Days, I guess, in some ways officially over here. But we certainly want to go out in style with our final Dog Day Q&A for this 2018 offseason. In fact, here's what it is. I want you to go on the record here. I want to find out from you, Georgia, who starts off at number 4 in the coaches' poll in the preseason. Where do you think the Dogs end up at the end of the season? What's your official prediction for UGA this year? Love to have you weigh in as part of our Dog Day Q&A on that topic. So if you're listening, whether it be radio or podcast, hit me up on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. You can weigh in on that. And if you're watching us live on video, we'll take your comments here coming up in just a moment on the subject of the Dog Day Q&A. And how about the as we get ready to do our Gator Hater countdown, how about another reminder of that weird video from Florida the other day with the Halloween costumes? A great way to provide a backdrop for our Gator Hater countdown. 85 days from now, we think that Georgia's going to go back to Jacksonville and beat those lousy, stinking Gators no matter what kind of costume they have. happen to be wearing on that particular weekend there. We love doing the Gator Hitter Countdown here on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza because we believe that a good Georgia fan is supposed to be a Gator hater. We're glad that many of you feel the same way on that. Busy weekend for us here at a Dog Nation. Good stuff from Chip and Mike coming up from Athens both today and tomorrow with the open practice tomorrow. Make sure you read it. I'll see you Monday back here at 10, another episode of Dog Nation Daily. Y'all have a great weekend.